Hello and welcome to the as yet unnamed London Theatre Podcast for the 13th of October 2013. My name's T.R.P. Watson, and this week I'm joined by Johnny Fox, Phil from the West End Whingers, and Nick from Partially Obstructed View. We're now going to talk about From Here to Eternity, which is a new musical based on James Jones's novel, which was famously made into a film starring Montgomery Clift, Deborah Carr and Burt Lancaster, and of course Frank Sinatra. This has now been made into a musical with lyrics by Tim Rice, music by Stuart Brayson, the book is by Bill Oakes, it's been directed by Tamara Harvey and designed mainly by Sutra Gilmore, although I think there's going to be some talk about the wigs later. John, tell me what you thought about it, and tell me more.
I rather liked it, but I'm not heavily exposed to the movie. I suppose I must have caught it some Boxing Day in a food and drink stupor, as you do. But I wasn't as aligned with the movie as quite a lot of members of the audience were the night I went. There seemed to be quite a few sort of 60-something couples for whom it might have been a favourite film, who were a tad disappointed that it wasn't exactly like the movie. But because it returns to the novel, which is darker and perhaps more salacious, I think it works better as a modern piece, or as a piece for modern audiences. And I thought that whilst the relationship between Danish Campbell, I think that's his name, playing the older soldier, and his commander's wife wasn't so engaging, I thought modern audiences might like better the romance between the young soldier played by Robert Lonsdale and his prostitute girlfriend, because she has a slightly seamier, edgier environment to be in. It's not just the military story. I'm making it sound very dry, and it's not. It's two love stories, so you know, really it's like South Pacific.
North Pacific.
It's North Pacific, exactly. And I think done really reasonably well. I don't know Stuart Brayson as a composer. I haven't recognised him as a name to tangle with, but you know, Tim Rice is the name above the title and the money behind the show, because he's the producer as well as the lyricist. And I thought some of the material came out very well. There's a couple of beautiful songs. There's a lovely one called Love Me Forever Today, which I think was catchy, and I could hum a bit of it the next morning, which is pretty unusual for new musicals. One of the things I really liked about From Here to Eternity is that it didn't have that awful earnestness that a lot of fringe musicals have, where they feel obliged to try every possible musical style and incorporate it into the material. This has a nice mix of some sort of 40s swing and some sort of more modern soft rock kind of songs. But also a nice trick is that they make the character of Pruitt, played by Robert Lonsdale. He's a boy from Kentucky, and he plays sort of pre-Nashville acoustic guitar music and country songs. And that just leavens the mix a little bit for me, and I rather like that. The really good points are, a little bit like Seven Brides and Seven Brothers, it's a very, very strong male ensemble. And the choreography, the militaristic choreography that they designed for them, I thought was really very good indeed, and they do it extremely well. And among the male ensemble, there are a couple of nice rising stars, I think. I'll struggle to name the names, but definitely the top of the list is Ryan Sampson, who plays the Frank Sinatra part. And he has a really, really clever combination of the comedy and the pathos of the character, who is a little bit bullied by some of his colleagues in the platoon. So I really liked his work. And there's a young man called Mark Antolin, who plays Clark, who I've seen in a couple of shows at the Union, and it's nice to see him getting West End work as well. So very good male ensemble. The women seem largely irrelevant. Rebecca Thornhill makes as good a fist as possible of the Deborah Carr part, playing the commander's wife, and she looks far better in her knickers than Deborah would have done, and sings pretty well too. The singing is quite strong, except I have to say for Darius. Darius is the man of whom most is expected, I think, in terms of a stunning performance, and also the name that might put some bums on seats, particularly from his sort of following from whichever of the reality Search for Star programs he was on. And I think he's not quite a big enough name, because the previews haven't been full, and I'm not sure what the advance is at the moment. So it might be quite dependent on the reviews when they come out, which I think is the end of next week. One thing that did strike me, and I wonder if Phil felt the same, is that it looked to me like a very good, well-resourced production. It's a medium-scale West End musical, nice set, good costumes, money, big band, money spent on it, but not so much money that you'd think it was, you know, another Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And I wondered if Tim Rice's strategy was that this might be a kind of vehicle to attract American investment money and mount a bigger Broadway production, because Broadway has got to be its home. The story of Pearl Harbor is something that really strikes a deep chord with Americans in a way it doesn't necessarily with English people, even English people who were or had parents in the war. So I think that's really where it's aimed for. But yeah, enjoyable evening out. I really quite liked it.
Well, you've said pretty much everything I would say. I quite liked it too. And I'm trying to think of things to say that you haven't. Apart from that, Darius is incredibly tall. In fact, I think they need to raise the height of the doors, because it looked to me like he could only just get underneath them. I agree with you about the music. What surprised me, like you probably for a new musical, but I have actually, I'm still humming one of the songs today. I really liked the military numbers. I agree with you, the Javier de Frutos choreography I thought was excellent. They were fantastically drilled, and they got the most insistent song of the piece. It is reprised quite a lot in various ways throughout the show, but very inventively. And I think that actually the show, it looked great. Sutra Gilmore's sets, I thought, were very effective. It's sort of, there's a fake proscenium, and then there's a couple more sort of very crumbling arches, which are sort of suggesting the destruction of Pearl Harbor from the start. And because it starts with the two women on a boat after the events, it's sort of a flashback, basically. So it's sort of topped and tailed like that. But also, because I thought it might be a bit soppy, because it would concentrate, being a musical, it would concentrate on the two love stories, which are there. But actually, I found the grittiness of the story the most surprising thing. I mean, there's a lot of use of the F word. There's mentions of hysterectomies, gonorrhea. Somebody urinates on the stage, you get a bare ass. There's a lot of violence, there's homophobia, there's racism. There's a lot packed in there, and it's quite grittily done. It's not really sort of, well, it certainly doesn't seem to me aiming for a young audience, because I think it's not suitable. Whether the coach parties take to it or not, I don't know, but the audience, when I went, were quite enthusiastic. The thing that I was just very pleasantly surprised about was the music. Although there were a few numbers that I didn't particularly like, I liked the mix of sort of bluesy and swing and everything you've said, and the folksy, more folksy kind of songs, which are generally well delivered. So yeah, I did have moments of longer, and I am familiar with the film, but I haven't seen it for a long time, so I can't remember the details. The only thing that I noticed was missing was the Thelma Ritter character in the film, but she's not there, which is a bit sad. But it's probably long enough they had to make some cuts somewhere. So, yeah, I don't know what else to say, apart from the fact that if you go to the souvenir shop, you can get a lei for £4.
Well, that's very good value in the West End.
I think so, yeah.
If I have a couple of detractions, it's that the war doesn't intervene soon enough. You don't get the war until three quarters of the way through the second half. Darius then points out to his girlfriend, redundantly, since presumably she was party to this information, that today is December the 6th, 1940.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, whilst you've been pissballing about shagging married chicks on the beach of a tropical paradise, London's already had the living shit bombed out of it, which I don't think will appeal to the British audiences. But it also, theatrically, I felt that the introduction of the bombing, and the special effects are very good, and there's some slow-motion choreography that happens during the air raid. I could have done with that a little bit earlier and a little bit more aftermath to that before we cut back to the scene on the ship where the two girls are comparing notes about whether they go back to Hawaii. So little bit structural flaw, and at nearly 2 hours 50 the night I saw it, I'm sick of saying, oh, it could lose 20 minutes, but it could lose 10 without being damaged. I think there's a song and a scene that could go from each act, and the storyline would still be completely well linked.
Yeah, no, I agree with you about the length. There were some moments, particularly in the first act, which is quite long, I think it was about 1 hour and 20 when I saw it, which I thought there needs to be some cuts made. But I'm not sure that it opens next week. I thought it was next week, but I'm not sure. But in terms of the structure of the story, I think sort of the kind of the point is that they're kind of, you know, they're stationed in Hawaii and they're bored, and that's why they're the Deborah Carr role, I can't remember her character, she's kind of bored. The soldiers are bored. That's why they're, you know, going into town to the brothel. And I think that's the story. And in a way, you need to end with the Pearl Harbor thing, which I thought was fantastically well handled, really quite spectacular. And the use of projection, the video projection, was very well done. And I must mention, because obviously From Here to Eternity is famous for the iconic scene, the movie anyway, where they Deborah Carr and Burt Lancaster sort of wrestle with each other on the beach in the surf. I was thinking, are they going to do that and how are they going to do it? They don't have them sort of rolling around in the surf, but they do the scene, and the surf was fantastically well done, and that's how they end the first act, and that was very impressive, I thought. There's quite a lot to impress in it, I think.
I was quite surprised that they didn't capture that even more accurately to the movie, because with the not to give too much away, but the sandy part of the set is on an elevator and they can raise it. They could have lain on the sloping sand. I don't know, someone could have thrown a bucket of water over them from the wings or whatever.
That guy could have come down and peed on them again.
Indeed. I thought they could have brought that a little bit closer to the film and given people an ooh moment. Maybe they're still working on that detail. People were struggling a bit with props and so on during the previews. But really, I genuinely hope that it gets good reviews when the national press come to see it, because I think it's much, much better new musical than any I've seen for quite a while.
Oh, absolutely. I enjoyed it much, much more than Willy Wonka on the Chocolate Factory, just for the fact that I thought it used imagination rather than just big, splashy, expensive kind of sets and things like that. I thought, and I also must mention the lighting. I thought, I don't know who did the lighting, because I wouldn't buy a program because they're those £6 ones. But I thought the lighting was incredibly effective, atmospheric, very sculptural. And I can't praise the male chorus highly enough.
No, terrific. Absolutely terrific.
When did you last see a musical where somebody urinated on stage?
P.F.
Oh, of course, yes. I don't think that was a musical, but I suppose it is.
Well, no, it wasn't with Jane Lapaterre.
How about gonorrhea, then?
Oh, a musical with gonorrhea. Isn't there Clapping Miss Saigon? Heavens, I don't
probably,
know.
Probably.
Really, you're really testing me.
We're now going to talk about The Light Princess, which is a new musical at the National Theatre in the Littleton. This musical is by Tori Amos and Samuel Adamson and is directed by Marion Elliott. Phil, can you tell us more about this and what you thought about it?
The story, which I didn't know, I mean, I'd never heard of George MacDonald, who wrote the original fairy story, which this is based on. And the thing is, because we were just talking about From Here to Eternity earlier, I do feel there's quite a lot of similarities in the sense that as a show, it's stunningly well staged. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful to look at. I think Ray Smith's sets are quite beautiful. The way that she's flies, which I don't really want to give away, I thought was very imaginative. There's a cross between sort of classic flying things and other ways that she's handled, shall we say, which were imaginative, clever. She's barely off stage and barely on it, because Rosalie Craig, who plays Althea, the princess of the title, is floating for pretty much two-thirds of, or more of the show. She's a princess who's her mother's died and she's grieving, but she takes it very sort of lightly, and because of this she's sort of cursed to float. She's in one kingdom, and there's another kingdom, which is Sealand, which has a prince who's grieving as well, but he's takes it all very seriously. He's absolutely hidebound by grief, and they meet in a sort of a wilderness between the two and fall in love. The problem I had with this, as opposed to, say, From Here to Eternity, was the music, Tori Amos's music. I don't know her work at all, and I don't think I want to know it. I found the music incredibly dull. It's more or less sung through, and it never really approached anything which I could call a song as such, or very rarely, or anything that was vaguely hummable. And I found that quite bland, which was a problem for me. Also, I think, despite the staging, it's way too long. It needs cutting an awful lot. I mean, I did see it at a preview, but particularly in the second act, the first act is 1 hour 20 minutes when I saw it, which was far too long. But the second act has an opening scene in a sort of a lake, which is full of frogs and flamingos and things like that, and it's meant to sort of introduce some humour into it, but it went on far too long, as did the scene with Clive Rowe, who plays her father, when she floats throughout this scene, which is impressively done, and it does make you wonder about the strength of acrobats involved in it. And I just think it needed severe trimming to bring it into anything like a sort of working length. It's been postponed for over a year, may even be 2 years, while they've gone back to work on it. And I think I wish they'd spent more time trimming it, because I do wonder who this show as well is aimed at, because despite the darkness of the story, and there's loss and grief and hints of bulimia and anorexia, it still seemed twee to me. And I just wondered what audience. I think it's too twee for adults, and I wonder if it's a bit too sophisticated for some children. Anyway, probably brighter children. I felt pubescent girls might get something out of it, but it just really wasn't the show for me.
Nick, what did you think?
Well, I think probably pubescent girls are the target audience, but I did enjoy it. The thing is, there's a lot. I pretty much agree with what Phil says. It just probably comes down to where it sort of balanced out for me between the music and the staging, because certainly the music. Well, I suppose a lot of through-sung musicals, they don't immediately grab you, but this is particularly kind of unmemorable in the music, and the songs just kind of drag out, and there's not really any tunes that jump out at you. I'm told that it's incredibly sophisticated, so maybe I'm missing something, but it certainly didn't work for me, whatever incredibly sophisticated tricks were being used in the music. And I mean, I'm not hugely familiar with Tori Amos either, but for me the balance worked out in that, because of the staging and the fantastic performances, I really enjoyed the show overall. I think one of the questions that a lot of people have been asking is, would this musical be one that's going to be revived in, you know, decades to come? I really don't know, because it there is a real question mark over whether the music is strong enough to work on its own. I don't personally think it is, but certainly for me the production, it's very I enjoy how theatrical it is, because I think given the amount of time and money that's been spent on it, they could have just gone for the most sophisticated way of doing the floating, which would be all wires all the time. So I find it quite pleasing that even though that does crop up as one of the ways to do it, but I think you can trust Marianne Elliott to not go for just the simplest staging possible and do something a bit more creative. So there is one of the kind of joys of it for me is seeing what the latest kind of way they're going to use either the set or the wires or the acrobats or a combination of all of those to make Althea float. Yeah, for me it's a very enjoyable show. I didn't particularly find it a problem that it was that much of a fairy tale. It possibly will be a problem, clearly, to other people, as it was to Phil, that it's a bit hard to see. It's kind of in a little netherworld where it's not quite a kid's show, not quite an adult show. For me, it charmed me, but I can see how it would be a problem for others as well. Yeah, I mean, generally, I think that's the key to it, is the music is not great, but for me, it's worth seeing for the production. I think that's really going to be the factor that splits people on this, is how important it is to have the music be that good. I think as somebody who hasn't written a musical before, I think the storytelling through music is done very well. But yeah, in terms of wanting to come out tapping your feet and humming the songs, I think it doesn't succeed at all. But as a production in general, I think it's a real success.
Yeah, I mean, I do agree with you, and the imagination used in it is quite spectacular. I'm not sorry that I saw it, but I was aware of quite a lot of longueurs during it, once you kind of get used to the staging. There's always something inventive coming along, particularly with the way that she's floated. But I just think, take the shears to it and cut it, because it is a great spectacle. Also, actually, one thing I will say about the set, there's a sort of a proscenium, almost toy theatre kind of design built around it, which I thought that would transfer to a much smaller stage quite happily. And I wonder if that had been done with that in mind. Because
I think it absolutely must be, because it's very rare for them. I mean, with the exception of London Road, which was fair to say, a tiny bit more experimental. You know, the National, if it does a musical, it puts it on the Olivier. So I think the fact that it's put it on in the Littleton at all has got to be with you know, with one eye towards a transfer.
But I think one of the problems in the Littleton is the fact that really, they're, because of the size of that proscenium, they're only using sort of half the stage area on the whole. They do use the sides a little bit in the sort of the boxes, which are either side of the fake proscenium. And I thought, well, that's a shame, because of the physicality of a lot of the show, to have used more space, I think, would have been quite good in the Littleton Theatre. But, yeah, I mean, I do agree with you that it's stunning to look at, and there's lots of imagination involved in it. It's just, for me, the overall feeling when I came out was just, I was getting bored.
I wasn't bored personally, but certainly, very specifically by the music, I was, you know, I found that boring at times. I always thought there was something else to make up for it, something to look at to make up for it, but... Yes, I do agree that at times the music is just simply boring.
Yeah, that's why for me, from Here to Eternity, really surprised me, because the staging is very imaginative. But actually, some of the music was, not all of it, but I think that had its longers as well, but there were some really great tunes in there, and they actually became songs and a wide variety of styles within the music, which this... It just sounded all the same to me. There were very few moments where I thought, I mean, every now and again, I thought, oh, we're going to get a song or something which kind of lifts it and gives you that feeling you can get in a musical sometimes. But that didn't happen to me at all during this.
We're now going to talk about Ghosts, which is on at the Almeida. This production stars Leslie Manville as Mrs. Alving, Will Keen as Manders, with Charlene McKellen as Regina, Brian McArdle as Jacob, and Jack Loudon as Oswald.
The story concerns Helen Alving, who has built an orphanage as a memorial to her late husband, Captain Alving. He was an outwardly charming and a great man, but was actually cruel and lecherous, and died in the grip of some kind of illness that sent him mad. Captain Alving's illness is not usually specified, but is normally taken to be something like syphilis. She confesses this secret of her marriage to her confidant and man of business, Pastor Manders, a man extremely uptight about his reputation. They have a past. Early in her marriage, Mrs. Alving ran away from her husband and threw herself at Pastor Manders. He now congratulates himself that he resisted any temptation and persuaded her to go back to the captain. Mrs. Alving has been recently joined by her son Oswald, who she sent away at a young age so that he wouldn't be corrupted by his father. Oswald has spent some years recently in Paris trying to be an artist, and now he's back and has formed a troubling attachment to Regina, Mrs. Alving's maid. The attachment's troubling because the captain had an affair with Regina's mother, and Regina was a result. Oswald has come back from Paris.
He seems healthy, but he's carrying the same seeds of illness we discover that everyone else is. It's one of the... I mean, I don't mind giving away a large amount of the plot here, but because it is a fairly well-known play. One of the things that interested me about seeing this was the idea that it's done in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, where somebody who has seemed to be fairly healthy throughout the rest of the play suddenly says, oh yeah, actually I've got this really terrible disease, and then starts dying almost immediately. It is a bit of an odd thing in theatre to have that happen. In this production, I had problems. I saw this on the very first night, and it's had very good reviews, so hopefully it changed from when I saw it in the sort of first preview. I found it rather fraught, a bit over-emotional in places, although it is a very emotional and emotive story, and you do have a lot of people shouting at each other. The problem was compounded, I think, when there's an awful lot of people, a lot of innuendo, a lot of sort of people hiding behind...
Euphemism.
Yes, being embarrassed by sexual matters, and there was an awful lot of giggling in the audience. Now, I think this might be slightly the fault of the adaptation rather than the play itself or the acting. This play's been adapted and is directed by Richard Eyre. And although, I mean, it ought to be good, but I didn't think it was quite as good as it could have been in that sense. It didn't feel like a really strong adaptation. But I'm not entirely sure where to put it, but it was that kind of no innuendo, no Mrs. was left undone, and it was that disappointed me in this, because otherwise it's a very nice and well-acted production. What do you think about it, Nick?
You see, I personally really liked it. I thought it was probably one of my favourite productions of the play that I've seen, but I do wonder whether that does have something to do with me being fairly familiar with it, and I did see a production of it in Greenwich about 6 months ago, so I had quite recent other things to compare it to. And obviously I went in knowing what it was all about and not needing things to be spelt out to me. I mean, one thing I some of the kind of euphemisms, yes, are not particularly subtle. To me, because I've seen, I think a lot of that is to do with it being edited down, so it's a very, it goes really quickly, the production. It's about an hour and a half with no interval in it. It feels even less than that, so it's a very brisk production. It's been kind of cut down to that speedy, and I think one of the ways it's been done is possibly by making some of the innuendo a bit more obvious. I think it's interesting because I've seen two different productions before. The first one I saw was a few years ago at the Arcola, and that was kind of noted for the adaptation. I think it was Rebecca Lenkevich did the adaptation for it actually mentioning the word syphilis in it. And then I saw a much more traditional production, about, like I said, about 6 months ago, which actually the amount of talking around what it is and the kind of trying to make it very obvious without saying what it is gets quite painful, and it kind of gets quite drawn out. So I thought this was a nice balance between the two. You know, you came out not wondering what the hell they were talking about, but also didn't kind of take forever to get there. So I did go with somebody who wasn't familiar with the play going in, and I think there were certain nuances that I was picking up that he wasn't. So I think there might have been things that I was just bringing with me from knowing the play, things about Helena knowing exactly what the captain died of, which I think it has a real bearing on the way that she reacts when Oswald announces what's happening to him and kind of, you know, confesses just how bad his situation is. I think my friend didn't quite pick up that this was something she might have actually been telling herself wasn't true, but might have had an idea about. So I think it gives a different perspective on quite the way she suddenly goes from this sort of repression to bursting out into grief. Yeah, it's a tricky one. It's a tricky one because I personally really enjoyed it, but I think there are elements that it may be better for people who are familiar with the play than it is for people who are new to it, which is not ideal, really.
You can find us at AYULTP on Twitter, on the as yet unnamed London Theatre Podcast page in Facebook. On the web, we are AYULTP.com, and the podcast can also be found on both iTunes and Stitcher, where you can leave a review. Thank you. Goodbye.